Thank you. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been here to speak, and so it's good to be here. And, you know, it's, you know, the word says, you know, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord, right? And so I was glad when Dr. Janet said, come into the river, you know? So I'm here in the river with you this morning, and I'm glad to be here with you. I see some new faces and a lot of familiar faces. So I attend Grace Christian Center in St. Joe, Michigan. Apostle Ron Rayon and Prophetess Belinda Rayon are the head pastors there, and they're both CI-ordained ministers, and I am very blessed to be able to sit in their house under their teaching, under the anointing that they both carry so well and so strongly. And so they send their greetings for you all this morning. Apostle Ron's been here and he's spoken before, so many of you know who he is and know him. My husband's here this morning. He brought me this morning, so I'm thankful for that. And we have been married. His name is Steve Carr. We've been married for going on 41 years. And yeah, in this day and age, right? And you know, who gets all the praise and the glory for that? That is the Lord, because, you know, life is hard, marriage is hard, and we definitely would say we know it's the Lord that has kept us together. And we have two sons, and we have six grandchildren, you know, a wonderful daughter-in-law who's a wonderful mother. So yeah, we're just blessed to be here. So, you know, I just wanted to pray for a few minutes here. Father, we just thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to be in your house. You know, this morning, Lord God, coming together, Lord God, in unity, Father, at the feet of you this morning, Lord God. And we thank you for that privilege, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the founding apostles of this house, Lord God. We bless them this morning. And even as Jay said, you know, that they would be recharged. We just declare your recharging over them, your rejuvenation, your refreshing, your renewal, Lord God. We just speak your life to their bodies, Lord God, to their souls, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God, in every which way, Lord God. And we just thank you for them. We bless them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you, Lord. Father God, let us have ears to hear this morning and eyes to see and a heart to receive, Lord God. Let your word go deep within us, Lord God. And Father, I just yield to you, your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, to bring forth your word, your right now word, Lord God, for a right now people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I'm going to try to stick to my notes this morning. A lot of times I never look at my notes, and I'm really going to try to stick to them so that we can finish on time. And do we have a clock back there? So we'll try to, you know, stick with the notes, and also so I don't get myself in trouble. Okay. So, you know, the message this morning is God's now word. Okay. And so before I talk about that, I want to just kind of lead up where we are. You know, we all know that we're in a time of a great momentum, right? We are in a great momentum of God. Okay. And so it's increasing, it's speeding up. And, you know, momentum, it's an object that's in motion, and, it has to have mass and it has to have velocity or speed, and things are speeding up. And this momentum that we're in, it's palpable, it's tangible. I'm sure that you've felt it. And a lot of what you're feeling, you know, you just think, oh, you know, I just need to take a breath. A lot of it is the momentum that we're in. And so we want to be right in the midst of what God's doing. We want to be right in the flow of what he's doing. We want to be in the same speed that he's going. We don't want to be out here on the periphery. We want to be right in the middle of what he's doing. You know, his true church is rising and is on the move, and the momentum is increasing, right? Guess who also has the momentum? Satan has the momentum. He's a copycat, right? He's a duplicator. So he has a momentum. So we want to make sure that we're not in the middle, because there really is no middle, all right? But we're on page with what God is doing and where he's at. So if we're in this time of momentum, we all know the scripture, you know, that from Isaiah, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so a lot of times we think, with all that's going on in the world and all the shaking and the quaking that's taken place and all the things that's happening with the nations, I mean, is his government increasing? Yes, it is increasing. Exactly. And you know what? We may feel that we're not right on time, but God is always right on time, right? So we want to make sure that we're hand in hand with him and we're seeking him, you know, where he's going, what he's doing. So we know that, I'm going to read the rest of that scripture. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with justice and judgment. From this that time for forward, even forever. And it says that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay, so there's a zeal that's increasing, you know, and I think that we're catching on. The church is catching on to that zeal and that passion of our Father, that we're joining in with what he's doing. And, you know, it's an awesome time that we're living in. Thank you, Lord. I think it's a momentum of his word. I that's what I believe it is. It's a moment. It's a movement. It's a momentum of his word. In Acts 19:20, I've been declaring this for the last couple of years, talking about this momentum, and that it says that the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. You know, that's from the Acts, and that's when the church was doing the acts of God, and they were out preaching the kingdom of God, and the word was growing mightily and prevailed. And we're in the time of God's word growing mightily within us and prevailing in our lives. It's time to believe again. It's time to expect again. It's time to stand again. It's time to hope again. You know, it's time to declare over yourself again the word of the Lord. It's time to believe again. You know, God's making the crooked places straight. He's making a way where there's not been a way before for those things that you've given up on. You know, God is saying, no, stand again, believe again, dare to believe again, because this is what I'm doing. I'm making rivers in the desert. And, you know, we've got situations, all of us, I'm sure, that, you know, a lot of times things seem hopeless because we've been praying, we've been interceding for such, you know, long time. But we are in that time that God is backing like never before. So we thank him for that. It's an awesome time to be alive. God's just, you know, restoring the original blueprint of his church, okay? And, you know, they're up to his original design. And, you know, we're rebuilding, okay? And so, you know, we have to be close to his ear, okay, close to his heart to hear what he is saying for such a time as this, because we've not been this way before, all right? And you've been hearing, because you're in a prophetic house, that we are in a new season, okay, a new season. I'm not talking about winter season, you know, winter's just a few, you know, days away. We're in a new season, okay, of God, a new decade, actually, in 2020. It's a new decade, right? And I know that your house, Dr. Janet, is already, I'm sure, you know, shared with you. I'm sure it's the year of, or it's not the year, it's the decade of the pay, okay? And that is the mouth. So we really want to make sure that we're declaring, hearing and declaring what he's saying in this time of the mouth. We're in the time of great unity, where the church is coming together. It's arising and realizing, you know, the greatness of our King, who he is and what we have within us. You know, as he is in the world, so are we. And we're rising in that place of unity. We're rising in that place of unity. And so, you know, it's a good time to be where God would have us to be. I'm going to slip this on the floor so I have a place to put my notes. Thank you. All right. So we are in a time of great shaking, right? We are in a time of craziness, right? I mean, it is crazy. And I tell you what, as time goes on and as it gets closer for the Lord to come back, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, you know, this world is not my home. We become more and more apparent as it gets closer and closer for the Lord coming back that this world is not our home, right? And thank God, right? But we are here for such a time as this, and we are here to occupy until he comes. We are here to possess and occupy till he comes. So we've got work to do. We can't retreat with all the craziness that's going on, with all the shaking and the quaking that's going on. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of Hebrews 12. I'm just going to read a little bit of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We're in the time of Hebrews 12. This is, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. Read Hebrews 12. Study Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Sometimes I get talking fast and my tongue gets tied, but I just really keep on going, so just kind of decipher as I go, okay? So it says, let us throw off everything that hinders, and so, or lay aside every weight. Let us, okay? It's something that I have to do. I have to be responsible. God's maturing the church in this day and in this hour, okay? He's wanting his children to grow up in him, in the fullness of him, that no longer should you be, you know, going to and fro, okay? But you should be able to handle meat, okay? Not still requiring milk. He's really requiring us to step it up, okay? To step up where he's at. So the Passion Translation says, let go of every wound, okay, that has pierced us. So let us throw off everything that hinders, let go of every wound that has pierced us. And I like that because God's people have been through a lot. You know, life is hard. And, you know, there's been woundedness that's taken place. And God's saying, you have to let go of that. We are in a new season. We are in a new decade. We want to not have anything that hinders us from going and fully engaging in this momentum that God has got us in and bringing us in, okay? Because if you think it's fast now, it's just going to get faster, okay? So we really got to cling to him in this time. So it says, let go of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We know we're in a race, right? And so that's what the scripture says. We know that. But, you know, God says also that the race is supposed to be run how? According to his rules. His rules, not our opinion of the rules, but his rules, all right? So we've got this race that's set before us, and we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we know this in scripture from 12:26. I'm going to drop down in Hebrews. It says, yet once more, I shake not only the earth. I'm going to back up. It says, yet once more, his voice, his roar shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Okay? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So these are things that we know, right? And yes, we would say yes, we know that the shaking has taken place. But we have to realize who's doing the shaking. And a lot of the shaking that's taken place is our God doing the shaking. You understand that? So that means we don't want to be working against what he's doing. We don't want to be praying against what he's doing. But we do want to make sure that we're on the firm foundation and that we have an opportunity to share with others who don't know the Lord that he is the firm foundation. And as they're sharing the things that's going on and fear and different things like that, then we have a great opportunity to witness, okay, about that firm foundation, our firm foundation, the reason that we're not out there running crazy like everybody else. And yes, the enemy will try to get you to run out there crazy like everybody else and be in fear and be so overwhelmed or be so distracted, okay, that you're not in the place and doing what you're supposed to do and not keeping the focus that you need to keep. I'm going to read that same scripture out of Hebrews 12:26 out of the Passion Translation. The earth was rocked by the sound of his voice from the mountain, but now he has promised once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, and that's exactly what's happening, okay? The systems of the world are being shaken, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm. Now, this phase, once more and for all, clearly indicates the final removal. How many of you know we're in the end times, right? We're in the end times. Now, this phase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order, okay? Clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order. Can't even read my writing. Now let me back up here. Now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order. But a new excuse me, bear with me. And I don't have the Passion Translation here, so that's the reason I've got it written out, okay? The removal of things that are shaking, that is the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. So again, it's a new season, it's a new decade, okay? So we want to make sure in this time, because everything's new, right, that we really have to hold close to what and hear what God's doing and what he's saying. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for our God is a holy, devouring fire. Amen. So that word shake means to agitate. It means to rock. It means to topple. It means to destroy. It means to disturb. It means to incite. It means to move. It means to stir up. It can bring confusion on the earth. We should not be confused. God's not the author and the finisher, the author of confusion. We should not be confused. We should realize where it's coming from, okay, and be praying into and hearing what he's saying. You know, it says that God's voice is what's doing the shaking, right? Is that what it said? That's what it said. And so I've been, three different times I've seen our lion, okay, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. You know, he's coming back as a lion. And I've seen him twice in our church during worship. And in what he was doing, he was roaring over our house. And as it's getting closer and closer for the Lord to come back, that roar is getting louder and louder. And, you know, so when, you know, one day I was walking with the Lord and I was talking to him. And the Lord said, you know, so why does a lion roar? And to make himself known. God is making himself known in these days, in this hour, as never before. And so he is roaring over his church. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I'm going to read, you know, also in Haggai, it talks about the Lord says, once more, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations. they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple should be greater than the former, says the Lord. How many of you know that we are in the time of the greater glory? We are in the time of the greater glory. So we should be expecting signs, wonders, and miracles as never before. We should be wanting to demonstrate the kingdom of God as never before. Praying, believing, okay, that, you know, in this time of the glory that we are doing and what God would have us do. Okay, two scriptures about roaring. Hosea 11:18, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling, okay, from the west. And Joel 3:16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. You've been studying on hope, right? Who's our hope? Our hope is found in him. His kingdom will never end, right? And his kingdom will never be removed. The king, you know, his kingdom cannot be shaken. So everything that needs to be shaken, we want shaken. And, you know, we sing that song, I will not be shaken. But, I'll say, you know, Lord, guess what? I want to be shaken. Whatever needs to be shaken out of me, up out of me, that needs to get off of me, you shake it off of me. I don't want anything to hinder, to stop, to, you know, slow down the flow of your spirit within me. So I want the shaking. If I need shaking, I want shaking, because I know he's my firm foundation. But there's things that get on us. There's things that have happened in this last decade, in this last season, that has hurt God's people. There's been a lot of woundedness. There's been resentment. There's been unforgiveness. There's been bitterness, and we don't want any of that. There's been hardness of heart, okay? We don't want any of that, okay? It desensitizes you to the things of the Spirit when you allow your heart to be hardened. Okay, thank you, Lord. We want all that stuff gone, Father. So thank you, Father. We say yes. We don't want anything, Father God, that's not of you in this season. And so we accept any shaking in us, Lord God, that needs to take place, that we are rooted and grounded in you as our firm foundation. Nothing that is not of you do we want attached to us, Lord. You know, we let go of anything, Father God, whether it be unforgiveness, resentment, hurt, Lord God. You know, any of those things that have tried to attach themselves. And, you know, I know that you've got your leader here is a counselor, and she goes through regularly with you all. But, you know, again, as we're talking about this, you know, I want to make sure that we're understanding we cannot hold on to anything during this time. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. All right. So in all this momentum and all this shaking and all this craziness and all the division and all the, you know, the things that are going on, you know, what is God saying? Okay, and that's what I want to bring you, God's now word. And you know what? It's a word we all know. Okay? But God wants it to get from just our knowing head into our heart where we are fully activating it and fully engaged with it. And that is Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Seek you first. So that word seek means to search after, to look after, to discover. It is a word that also means worship, to desire. So if I'm, you know, passively going through my life, or so distracted with my life and the circumstances of life, which is what the enemy does, it may hinder my seeking. I've got to seek. What am I seeking? Seek you first. Okay, first. What does that mean? That's the order. Okay? God didn't say, seek the kingdom of God. He said, seek you first. And so he's bringing us back for such a time as this. And yes, we know that the Christmas season is upon us, and he's the reason for the season. But there's more than that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So we want to make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. In verse 25 of Matthew 6, it says, do not worry about your life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that. I'm going to read verse 33. In the Passion Translation as well, out of Matthew 6. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things that seem to take the forefront of our lives and drain us of energy and they drain us of life will be given to you abundantly. Refuse. You have the right to refuse. God says to refuse to worry. We're not supposed to worry about or be anxious for nothing, are we? Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge, that comes your way, one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So I can't come in here on Sunday and seek the kingdom of God and forget about it all week. It says, deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Each day, throughout the day, I have to consciously seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You get a bad report. Something happens. You hear something on the news. You rush out in the morning. We get so busy with life. And we think, okay, when I get home, then I'll take that minute. No, seek ye first, okay, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. God's preparing us for what's coming. There's more shaking that's coming. The world's growing darker, right? But the church is going to rise, okay, and be that shining light, all right? And so we have to be honed in to what he's doing. We want to see God's perspective in everything that's taken place. God, what are you saying? I hear what they're saying. Now, what are you saying, Lord? Okay, well, I thank you, Lord. This is what you say. Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to think about that. I put that over here, Lord. I just, you know, turn it off. And what I'm focusing on, what I'm declaring, what I'm speaking is your perspective, what you're saying. Okay? So I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, seek ye first, and then this is the kingdom, okay? The kingdom is the realm, or the rule of the king, right? That's what it is. So, this is what I want you to know. You can go to church every Sunday, and you can be a born-again believer, and you can go to meetings. Several of us went to a meeting up at Battle Creek Friday night and to hear Apostle Leon, and he was on fire, as usual. You know, I love him. I just, you know, it's like, thank you, Lord. I'm even more revved up for speaking on Sunday here at the river after sitting under his teaching. But you can be born again believer, okay? Go to church every Sunday. You can go to heaven. And you know what? You can never seek the kingdom of God and his rule. Do you realize that? Okay? Seek ye first the rule or the realm of the king, the place of the dominion of the king, the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. All right? We can go through our day to day and know that we're born again, but we don't ever seek his rule, his dominion. We don't ever recognize or see him as king. And, you know, we know him as Father. We know him as Lord. But we're coming in, we're in this time now that he's really wanting us to understand that he is the King of Kings, that he is the King over all the earth. And all this shaking and all these things that are taking place, he is still the King. And it's not up for debate. You don't get an opinion. There's a lot of obstinance that's gotten in the church, and they value their opinion more than they honor God's word. Well, God's word is not up for debate. There's only one Holy Spirit. Okay, I've heard some people say, well, that's subject to interpretation. Well, there's only one Holy Spirit. Okay, and so your Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, right? God's truth, okay? And this is the manual for the kingdom of God. This is our guidebook to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so I have to read it in order to know it, right? I have to study it. I have to let it get in my heart. I can't just quote scripture and then live my life the way that I want. And because so many are compromising God's word now, because we're under grace, you see, and I can do this and I can do that, but I know Jesus and I'm going to heaven. That is not seeking you first the kingdom of God. Okay? So I'm focusing in here on what God has given me to share with you today. You could have someone who's more, has a lot more wisdom in the things of the kingdom of God and more versed in the kingdom, you know, a theologian that could speak in a greater way than I can. But this is what the Lord brought for me to give to you today. So this word is specifically for you and for me. He wants it to make, to get us, for us to understand, okay, what the kingdom is, that we have to seek it, okay? It's our duty to seek it, okay? And it's first place of everything that we do, the kingdom. So his kingdom rule, his kingdom dominion, okay? Thank you, Lord. Keep the main thing, right? Thank you, Lord. When we're seeking the kingdom of God, we're pursuing his authority, pursuing his will, okay? You know, he's the author and finisher of our faith, okay? It's his realm that we're seeking, okay? God's word says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, right? We want to make sure that we're, you know, we are the righteousness of Christ through Christ Jesus, right? But we're to walk out that righteousness, right? We're to live that way, right? Righteousness matters to God, okay? Justice matters to God. It is the foundation of his throne, okay? Grace is not the foundation of his throne, okay? That's gotten out of balance, all right, that word grace. Grace is enabling power to do what God asks us to do. That is the best way to remember grace. It's the enabling power that God gives us to do what he asks us to do. So he's as saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because he wants you to have all these things that we seem to strive for, and we think that we're, okay, I'm so busy, I'm trying to get all this and all that. And God's just saying, you know, wait, take a breath. Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and then you can have all these things that you need for life. So the kingdom of God provides us, supplies us with all the things that we need for life. You know, food, our clothing, whatever is necessary for life. Okay? The kingdom of God encompasses all of life for us. All right? So if that's true, and it is, should we not be seeking you first, the kingdom of God? We're out there spinning circles, you know, running around, you know, and it's just like, you know, the main thing, come back to what God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we know that his kingdom, we know that you overcome evil with good, right? And so we are to live our lives that way, correct? And we're in this world that's the opposite, right? It's get back and get even, you know, and if, you know, I'll get you first so you don't get me, you know, and unfortunately that's getting worse, you know. You know, he knows the end from the beginning, right? So if he knows the end from the beginning, we better be plugged into what? Seeking you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto us. Thank you, Lord. Again, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. That it's an ever-increasing government. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've got like notes stuck everywhere, so bear with me here. Thank you, Lord. You know, the kingdom of God has its own language. And when we become born again, you know, we get that language, right, through the Holy Spirit. And so how much more if we're seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these things can be added to us, and we have a divine connection, how much more should we be speaking the language of the kingdom? We should be increasing it, right? We should be making sure that we're praying, that we're speaking the language of the kingdom on a daily basis. And that should have been increasing as it comes closer and closer for the Lord to come back, as things are getting harder and harder, you know? And so we need to make sure that we're really in that place of interceding. Thank you, Lord. Tim Sheets, in his book, New Era of Glory, it's a great book. He says that praying is in the spirit is the governing intercession. He says that governing intercession of the ecclesia establishes his rule, his realm in the territory. Okay? The Holy Spirit empowers and enforces Christ's kingdom government on the earth through his sons and daughters. When we are praying in the spirit, we become governing intercessors. Wow. Isn't that awesome? The responsibility, the privilege that we get to join in. So it's like you see the importance of praying in the spirit, okay? If you don't have your prayer language, you need to get your prayer language. Whatever's held you back from receiving that, you need to receive, you know, the language of the kingdom, all right? It is perfection. You can't go in error, you know, you get in situations, you don't know how to pray, what to do. You know, don't get in all this stuff of, you know, saying and repeating, you know, things. Just go to the Spirit and start praying in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. You know, thank you, Lord. And so we're talking about unity. Okay, so what, you know, up a unity of just praying in the Spirit, okay? What that does, you know, in our own time. But when we come together, okay, the power of that. Friday night during the worship, there was a point that we just, everybody started just, you know, singing in the Spirit, basically. And the power of the Lord was so strong. You know, his presence was so strong. It was the unity that was there, coming together as one, worshiping our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, seeking you first, the kingdom of God and his, you know, dominion, his realm, his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Apostle Leon sent an email through his ministers, and I wanted to read a little bit of that. He says, I want to encourage all of you to be very focused from this time forward, as I sense that this will be a time of distractions. Just like it is with our government right now, distractions are trying to hinder positive progress. I feel we are in an open door season, and Father is making preparations for advancement for you, your churches, businesses, and families. That's all about the kingdom of God. education, churches, family, government, religion, that's all the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It will be necessary to keep focused and don't allow the distractions that surround you to get you out of alignment with your visions, your goals, or assignment that the Father has given you. Again, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I need to be focused by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, that's what I need to be focusing on. That's my main focus, okay? Apostle Ron of the house that I attend last Sunday, he gave a prophetic word during worship. And he, you know, it was basically that the Lord was calling us to a 20-day, the next 20 days. You know, we're coming into 2020. But the next 20 days, okay, of time of fasting, of consecration, that before we even go into the new year, God wants us prepared for what's coming. So God's giving, you know, some keys here to his people. And, you know, who wants to fast this time of year, right? You know, with all this yummy, you know, food and things, parties and things that we're going to. But God is asking us, you know, and so you have to pray about that because that was in our house. But again, you know, fasting, what does it do? It refocuses our attention on keeping the main thing, the main thing. That's what, you know, fasting does. And so, you know, Apostle Leon has this word we need to focus. God had given me this word, you know, several weeks ago when all these things were happening and I was talking to him about all this craziness and so forth. And I said, God, what are you saying? And that's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. You know, and all these things will be added to you. And so then when I, you know, came, you know, was asked to speak here, that's, I said, Lord, is that what you want me to speak on? Yes, that's what I want you to speak on. That's what I want you to bring. You know, it's God's now word. It's always a word, but God is emphasizing again to us. We know this. We're believers, right? We know the word. He's reemphasizing again. People of God, my children, my sons and my daughters, for such a time as this, you need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Ask me, says the Lord, what and how that applies to you. Ask me how you are not applying that to your life so that we can be on the same page and we can really be as one in this season and you're not caught up in the shaking and the quaking that's taken place. You're not being caught up in the fear realm, but that you're staying in my realm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And like we are already way up there, right? Okay. So I'm going to try to go a little bit faster here. You know, the other word that the Lord gave me along with that seek ye first the kingdom of God was Daniel 7. And in that scripture, it says, I was watching in the same, it's Daniel 7:21. I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until, can we say until? Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to what? Possess the kingdom. If I'm going to possess the kingdom, I better be seeking the kingdom, right? If I'm not seeking the kingdom of God, then I can't, I'm not going to be able to possess. I'm not going to be able to occupy, okay? This is in the verse 18, further, you know, up in Daniel 17, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. In order for us to be able to do that, we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? We have to be on board with that and doing what he is saying for such a time as this. We're here to manifest his kingdom. We're here to speak about the kingdom. You know, this decade of the mouth, we need to be speaking the kingdom. All right? Be speaking the kingdom. So we have to be seeking, all right, in order to be speaking, to make sure we're speaking the right thing. We're here to manifest. We're here to demonstrate the kingdom. We're in the time of signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God was manifested, right? And the disciples, when Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father, you know, and he sat down, then that it was, you know, the disciples, they preached the gospel of the kingdom, and they demonstrated the kingdom. And that's what we are here to do. Well, we can't do that if we're not seeking you first, the kingdom of God, if we're not putting that in order. God is a God of order, and he's really wanting us to make sure that we're on board with his order and what he's doing. You know, the church is rising as the ecclesia, the governing body of God. If, you know, we've got greater revelation that we need. We've got kingly authority that we need to be walking in and walking out. The church is coming into a greater understanding of what it is to bind and loose, okay? Tim Sheets, you know, said forbid or permit instead of the binding and loosing is the words he used, and I really like that. And I've not looked that up to see if that's part of, you know, the translation in the original text or not, but I like that. And so, you know, I want to go to Matthew 16 real quick. You know, and Matthew 6 tells us about how to pray, right? You know, the prayer that we're supposed to be praying. It says, our Father in heaven, I'm going to start there first, hallowed be your name, okay? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do any of you pray that prayer on a regular basis? Or do you think that's just kind of, you know, just kind of giving an outline of how you pray, okay? I pray for God's kingdom to come in my family on earth as it is in heaven, okay? For this nation, for the nation of Israel, the nations of the world. So I go through and I, you know, we most of us know that by heart, right? But we got to make sure, again, that we're not just giving lip service, that what we are doing, understanding what we're doing, that God gave us that prayer for a purpose because you're supposed to seek ye first. It's the model prayer that he gave to the disciples. How do we pray? Well, what did he do? He gave them the model prayer, the secret for everything that you need is found in seeking you first, the kingdom of God. The first Bible that I gave my sons after they got done with their kids' Bibles, I wrote on the front cover the scripture, Matthew 6:33, the secret to life, the secret to success, the secret to happiness, the secret to fulfillment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in the Passion Translation of the Matthew 6, it says, to our Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center of our lives. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so who is he going to fill that, his purpose through? Us. So I have to be seeking the kingdom of God, right? It says, we acknowledge you as provider of all we need each and every day, for you are the king who rules. I like that. That's the, you know, the Matthew 6 Passion Translation of the prayer that God gave us, that told the disciples to pray. Thank you, Lord. That prayer clearly states that every need, you know, that you have will be taken care of. And how is it? Seeking first the kingdom of God. And then over on Matthew 16, this is a time when he asked his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? Okay. And, you know, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. I'm in verse 15 now of Matthew 16. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, God is asking us today, who do you say that I am? Do you know me as king? Do you know the dominion of my rule? Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, which actually is ecclesia. So in the original text, the word is ecclesia. That's God's governing body. And if the kingdom is about the rule of God, the realm of God, then we need to be seeking you first, the kingdom of God, so that we can be that governing body, actually doing what we're supposed to be doing in house and out in the sphere of influence that we've been called to, right? So it's referring to the governing body of the church. It says, it doesn't say the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the ecclesia. So we need to make sure that we are seeking first the kingdom of God, because that's what it says. The gates of hell will not prevail against the ecclesia. And an ecclesia is those who seek the kingdom of God. His authority, his realm, his dominion, that they're putting that first, okay? So, because we have churches that are closing all the time, right? So, I'm not saying that some of those were not, but I would say a good portion of them probably are not. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay. God's giving us a greater understanding and revelation of what we are. Okay. Of who he is as king, and that we are children of the king. Our authority to rule and reign alongside him. You know, it goes all the way back to Genesis, right? You know, where he gave us, you know, that, you know, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, take dominion over every living thing, right? It goes all the way back there. That's seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his realm, his will. Okay, so it says, and also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock will I build my church, I'll build my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. All right. Now, it's not talking about a real rock. What he's talking about, upon this revelation that you have as me being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's upon that foundation that I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And then he goes on to say, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth or whatever you permit on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth or forbid on earth, as Tim Sheets says, will be loosed in heaven. To the extent that you have the revelation of the kingdom of God is to the extent of the binding and loosing authority that you have in the earth realm. Do you understand that? The greater revelation that you have of how the kingdom of God works, seeking you first the kingdom of God, knowing him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing your kingdom authority, and that he is the King of Kings, by the way, knowing and having the greater revelation, the greater insight, the greater your authority to bind and to loose, to forbid and to permit. Do you understand that? And so God's bringing the church into a greater revelation and understanding of that great privilege and authority, and that which he is backing up for such a time as this, as we come and seek ye first the kingdom of God as never before, and give him first place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I've got like all kinds of notes here. So let me see if I can, how much more I want to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the ministry of the kingdom is Luke 4:18. And that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus did. He came and announced that he had arrived. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Yes. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, so the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because, okay, he has anointed me, he has anointed you, okay, to bring forth the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You are anointed because to do all these things as he is. So we are in this earth, correct? The kingdom of God does not, you know, consist in talk, but in power. And so as we seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're demonstrators, manifestors of the kingdom of God in the earth, making him known. Making him known. Thank you, Lord. God's word says greater works will we do, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I mean, just think of the power of that. If we get on board with seeking you first the kingdom of God, we come in here. You know, I know that, you know, this house has been through change, and some people have gone, some people have come. God's building afresh and anew according to his original design, and some people you can't build with. And it doesn't mean they won't come back, but God knows what he's doing. And you know, all of it wasn't him. You know, a lot of it was just, you know, abandoned ship, jumped ship, you know, got weary, you know, gave up, you know, got mad, whatever they did, you know. But, you know, God is building. And, you know, he has a great anointing upon this house. You are in a good place because they honor the Lord. They fear God. They exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they teach his word without uncompromise. Without any compromise, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
the Lord.
We know that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I remember one time praying at the front of our house, the church, and I was praying, and all of a sudden I thought about that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I thought, wow, you know. And so I thought, you know, okay, we come and we sit in those pews. Behind me is all this righteousness and all this peace and all this joy. Guess what? Not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, and the kingdom of God is within us, and it is his righteousness, and it is his peace, and it is his joy. And we need his peace in these days as never before, right? You know, God's word tells us that, that great peace have they which love thy law, thy rule, talking about his kingdom authority. And nothing shall offend them. We're a people not to be offended. You know, if we're, you know, walking in the kingdom, living in the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God, we're not going to be people that are offended, you know. God's word says that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in them. All that goes with seeking you first the kingdom of God. So we are to be a people of peace in these troubling times. And, you know, we know that peace doesn't mean that I just kind of sit here on the front pew and go, you know, oh, bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'm just so peaceful. You know, I have to, you know, peace at times, you have to fight to be in a place of peace, correct? Dr. Janet's talked to you about peace. I've heard her teaching on peace before, and it's a great teaching. But we can only get there through the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is within us, and God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need to make sure we don't lose our joy, because if we lose our joy, we'll lose our strength. And it comes through seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Seeking his rule, you know, his will, believing and doing, okay? Being obedient. Thank you, Lord. You know, when Joshua went into the first chapter of Joshua, it continually says, be strong and very courageous. Do not turn from to the right or the left, so that you can prosper wherever you go. That's basically in the New Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, if you do that, there's no, you know, you don't have any place for fear to hold you back. You know, we're strong in the Lord if we're seeking you first the kingdom of God, so that we can prosper wherever we go, and that we can receive what God has for us, that we can possess and occupy in this time that God wants us to, you know, really receiving the blessings of the Lord, you know, the promises of God. God wants us walking in the promises of God. And those, you know, are conditioned on our faith in doing what he says to do. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to share this with you. I went to see, I was asked and invited to go to hear Mike Pence in Michigan this last week. And so it was a limited number of ministers. He came to Portage, and he was also coming to Holland last Wednesday night. And I had an invitation to go as a minister in Michigan. So I was like, yes, I'm, you know, on that page, you know. And I almost missed the invitation because I hadn't checked my emails, and they kind of found out at the last notice. Usually when the, you know, the president, vice president come in, they don't give a lot of forenotice, you know, in advance, because they want things secure and they don't want the word to really get out. And this was to be a small meeting with Vice President Mike Pence. So, you know, I think it was just God, because I don't check my emails regularly. Life is busy, right? But it was like 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, I checked my email, and I seen this email, and it was an invitation, and, you know, and I sent the thing right back that definitely I was interested, and, you know, I got a response back. Well, if they're not full, because, you know, the email was sent Monday morning, and it was late Monday night when I'm answering this, he said, go ahead, I'm sending you the link. You got to answer a bunch of questions, give them information about yourself, and, you know, see if you get approved. And so Tuesday night late, then I got approved to go, and so was given the time and the place, you know, to meet. There was about 50, you know, of us, you know, and, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I almost missed the invitation. You know, it was a limited number of people that they were, you know, having come. Okay. So, you know, if the rooms were small, okay, it was a huge church, but they, you know, curtained off the small room and you know, where we were held at. And he gave a great speech. You know, was very impressed with him. Got to thank him for honoring our president. He is an honorable man. That's what I knew I wanted to say to him was thank you for honoring our president, because I know that cannot be easy. And he knows more about him than any of us. And he has shown nothing but honor for our president. And in doing so, he is showing us what it is to honor a true king and to honor this nation. So he is a man of honor, in my opinion, because he knows how to honor. If you don't know how to honor, you very well may not be a person of honor. And we as a people need to learn to honor again. We have a whole generation that do not understand about honoring that those that God has placed around us, okay? And whether it be, you know, our leaders, you know, or in, you know, in the church, in the government, wherever, you know, that when God has placed them in place, we need to make sure that we are honoring them and respecting them and praying for them. So anyways, I thought about that invitation and I thought, you know, Lord, your invitation goes out for all, for whosoever. You know, this was a limited invitation, but God's invitation goes out for all, whosoever, you know, and we have that ability to bring forth that invitation to people, right? And we know that we're in the end times and time is coming to a close. And we need to make sure that we're giving the invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come into his kingdom and make him known. And so, because his invitation, you know, he's no respecter of persons, and he really wants us to invite and make the, you know, his kingdom known, and we're doing that through demonstrating signs, wonders, and miracles, and, you know, expressing the love of the Father, and, in, you know, sharing Christ, the message of salvation with those around us. And so when I left there, I was in the car and I was saying, oh Lord, you know, I talked to the Lord out loud, you know, and cause he's right there with me. And so I said, Lord, I said, that was so cool. I said, that was way cool, Lord. I mean, this is literally what I said. And I said, you know, I was, you know, I really felt honored. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, letting me get that, you know, email and not missing it, you know, and just, you know, I was really honored, you know, to get to meet the Vice President of the United States. I got to shake his hand, you know, and, you know, I said, that was way cool. You know, our Father's perspective is everything. And so he knew I was going to be preaching this message on Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And he's wanting me to get a greater understanding of all that that means as well. And anyways, in that instance, he said to me, Ina, he said, you get to be with me and come sit at my feet each and every day. You can even sit up on my lap if you want. And I'm the King of Kings. And so here I was really excited and not taken away from anything from, you know, honoring and being, you know, felt privileged to be, you know, to meet Vice President Mike Pence. But it brought it back into perspective that how much do we take for granted our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords? And each and every day he is there and he doesn't, you know, hold us at a distance or say, you know, okay, let's set up a time. And maybe if I'm not too busy with my other sons and daughters, then we could maybe meet. And maybe I could give you 5 minutes. He's our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And he says, you can come before me anytime and sit at my feet or even sit on my lap. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When the disciples, Peter and John, were arrested for preaching the kingdom of God, remember? And they, you know, they went back and they, you know, they said to the Lord, they prayed to the Lord. And remember, they were told not to speak in that name anymore, right? Because there's power only in that name. There's not many paths that lead to God. There's only one name by which we may be saved, right? Another lie that some of the churches are letting people believe. But they asked, they said, Lord, you know, stretch out your hands. So give us greater boldness to speak your word with signs and wonders following. And that's where we've got to be in this time. As it, you know, it's getting, there's going to be more persecution. We don't really know what it's like to be persecuted here in this nation. I know I hear people say that, but you don't really know. You have no idea when you compare what, you know, goes on in other nations where they're persecuted. We have no idea what that really is like, okay? And so we need to be saying, as we're going forth, seeking first the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God. When we get, you know, persecution, when we get threats, when things happen, Lord, stretch out your hand. Give me greater boldness in these days, in these hours. You know, let me do signs and wonders and miracles by your mighty power and your mighty name, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be able to do that. Thank you, Jesus. And I am going to close on a scripture. The Lord gave me this scripture out of Psalm 149. And that's not it. Thank you. That was it, Psalm 149. There's so many other things. I encourage you to really ask the Lord again about what that means for you in seeking the kingdom of God. Personalize. Let him personalize it with you so that he can really give you a greater revelation and a greater understanding. And it's going to be ongoing, right? You know, his ways are, you know, higher. His ways are greater. When we were worshiping Friday night, that's when we came in that place of praying in the spirit, in unity, and the presence of the Lord came in. I kept hearing the Lord, you know, say, come up higher, come up higher, you know, come up higher. My ways are greater. My ways are greater. Come up higher. And, you know, that's how we do that, is through seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so that he, you know, his ways are greater, and he's asking us to come up higher. We've not been this way before. We're coming into desperate times, more shaking, more quaking, greater darkness. We've got to be the people of God, being that bright light. And the only way we can do it is putting him first, seeking you first, the kingdom of God. It's not just putting him first. It's seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we're here, the river of life. You know, Apostle Leonard and Dr. Janet didn't name this, you know, church just by thinking, oh, that sounds good. You know, the Lord gave him that name, you know, the river, you know. And, you know, the rivers fluctuate in the natural. This river has fluctuated in the spiritual realm, where, you know, your size has gone down. And again, there's been some pruning. There's some purging. There's some cleansing, you know. And there's going to be more of that. When Tim Sheets was here, I was right back here, and I heard the Lord say, call for the fire. First to cleanse and purge. Call for the fire. And so I did that. And then he said, call for the fire. First to cleanse and purge, and then to ignite. So God's cleansing, he's purging, he's taking out what needs to be taken out, and then he's bringing his fire to ignite us. And we need that ignition, correct? We need that ignition. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, the river. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Be still and know that I am God. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And you know what? I really felt like the Lord gave me this song yesterday morning. And you know, some of the words were coming to me, and we're going to have them play that in just a few minutes. But it's about the river. You know, God is the river. He is the life-giving, you know, spirit of everything that we need is found in him. And, you know, his rivers of living water are within us. And he wants to release that river that's within you, afresh and anew. All stagnation be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. That nothing to stop or keep your flow of the river of the life that this place has. But it has to come alive in us first. And you, as each of you, are as leaders here in the sphere of influence that you're called to. We want that river going forth and bubbling up afresh and anew so that you can carry that life out of here. And so we're going to, you know, sing that song, or not sing, they're going to play Come to the River. And what I want you to do is, you know, feel free, is just to come up here and you know, the river's flowing, and see in the spirit, and just wade out into the deep. Deep is calling out to deep, and God's calling us forward in this time, and he wants you refreshed and renewed. He wants you to know who you are and what you've got on the inside of you, that he is the King of Kings, and that you are his children, that you are his sons and daughters, and you carry his kingly authority and his kingly mantle in the earth realm. And he wants wants it seen. He wants you freed up in this time and letting the river of life flow from you, so that as this song comes forth and is played, that we are out here in the midst of the river. You can sit there, you can come up, you can lay down, you can sit down, you know, whatever you feel you need to do. Just be open and receive what God is wanting to do, to let the river of life come afresh and anew on the inside of you, and take it out of here and let it flow. Bring the pure flow, life-giving river of God. No putrid, no stagnation, nothing from the past, but going forth into the river with Him for such a time as this. Thank you. If you would play that now. Thank you for your patience.